The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
16 after 7, Mark DeYoung joins me. Mark DeYoung is candidate for Josephine County Treasurer. How you doing this morning, Mark? Welcome.
Doing really good. Enjoying your show so far. So thank you for having me on.
Okay, well, it's early in the day. We can still disappoint you. Just kidding, but having fun. Hey, Mark, I had a chance to meet you at the rally the other day in Josephine County on Saturday, and I can't tell you that I've really paid much attention to the treasurer's race, but you know, you came to me and you said that, hey, you were running for this, and so I thought, okay, we'll have a little talk about this. And what does the treasurer for Josephine County do other than what would come to mind for me, what, writing checks and checking the bank balances and making sure that money goes? And why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do this? There is an incumbent. It's been there some 28, 29 years, from what I understand.
Yeah, the current treasurer has been there quite a while, but I'm suggesting it's probably time for a change right now. And I will say a lot of what I'm going to talk about is easy to find at josephinecounty.gov. Look at agendas and minutes, and, you know, you'll see some support. But the first question, what does the county treasurer do? And it's probably safe simply to say that the county treasurer is like the senior banker, you know, for the county. They receive and receipt all the money that's due. They disperse funds where there's surplus. They invest as appropriate. Obviously, there's a lot of regulatory issues around what, you know, they can and can't do there. And if needed, they can institute actions in the name of the county to collect money that belongs to the county. But also part of the responsibility is keeping accurate and detailed accounts of all money received and money dispersed, as well as maintaining, you know, proper financial records. And so it's very consistent with my background, because I've worked with national banking institutions as a retail branch manager for over 15 years and about 25 years in financial services before that, Bill.
Okay.
That's the treasurer, though, it's one of those things, like you said, it's not necessarily on the top of everybody's mind. So I'm hoping to throw a few pebbles out there for some of the voters still, because this treasurer at this point in time is raising a lot of red flags for anybody that's had a banking background, because there's just a distinct lack of transparency. In a nutshell, it looks like she's really resisting turning over account records and reconciliations to the finance manager. And so it kind of starts for me back in July. I'm watching county administration workshops that, you know, these are streamed live to the public. And on the agenda is a request for Treasury to provide bank statements to the finance director under County Code 2.10.050E. And what develops is nearly a half hour or so discussion that raises, you know, my eyebrows, because the treasurer is basically saying she does not have to provide documentation to the finance director so that the finance director can clear some records. There's also discussion of cash handling. Has been an audit issue that was going for nearly a year without being resolved. And so when I hear audit issues as a banker, holy cow, you know, starts to get the hair on my neck up. Well, that's in July. Then in August, they have another meeting where the treasurer is brought in, same kind of discussion, and they literally bring in the assistant county attorney, Stephanie. Actually, I think that was in July. They bring her in to read the code that says, yes, of course, there's accountability. You, when requested or otherwise, these are financial documents that belong to the county, and certainly the commissioners and the finance director, you know, need to use that information in making decisions. So we got July. And then in August, she's saying, no, these are my personal accounts. And of course, that raises everybody's eyes, and they drill down to say, no, those are county accounts, not the treasurer's personal accounts. But it gets so bad in the third month I'm filing it, now in September, the county attorney, Wally Hicks, has to put an order on the agenda, and it's order number 2024-053, quote, in the matter of opening the books. And it simply says he's drafted this order demanding that the treasurer open the books for the finance director to have the power and duty to access all books, records, and documents kept by the county, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so this is...
These meetings,
okay.
You know, it's a little nutty because she's getting really hot and antagonistic with the commissioners as they're asking for this information.
Now, let me just interject here. Now, Mark, what I'm wondering, though, is there a possibility, though, that the request for the treasurer, the sitting treasurer, to open the bank books then to the county finance director, is this akin to accusing the treasurer of doing something wrong? Now, I'm just wondering, and so remember, the county treasurer is a separate elected office, so there is a separation of powers there to an extent, but yet I would have thought that the treasury books are just open for the public if you wanted to take a look at that, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm just looking at it as a public record. What do you think?
Well, it's really at the heart of the question, and clearly I'm not saying I have any direct knowledge of, you know, specific illegal acts or anything like that. But what I am saying, and I'll use kind of an analogy, I happened to see a cable show Seized at the Border, right? Mm-hmm. So at the border, these big trucks come rolling up and they have a giant x-ray machine that, you know, looks at it. And what they refer to is they look for things called anomalies. And when you have a county treasurer refusing to turn over financial documents, which, again, they're the keeper of, that's a big anomaly. And, you know, I don't have a drill that I can go in and see if something's hiding in the cracks, obviously, as a citizen on the outside. But it raises concerns of risk. And like I say, you just can't be in banking without understanding risk management.
And this is the reason why you want to become the treasurer then, not to put words in your mouth, but you're saying the whole idea of being the treasurer, that if government officials want to take a look at the books, you're going, hey, no problem, here they are, go ahead, here we go, right?
Well, and exactly, and two things, you know, number one, huge amounts of money in the county need to be accounted for. And we know that it's a county that's strapped for cash. And the last thing we need is any kind of financial losses, whether it be through, you know, embezzlers with fictitious vendors or any number of ways of overbilling. You know, just having extra sets of eyes on everything simply makes sense. But let me just put it this way, Bill. As a senior banker, could you imagine walking into your retail bank and you sit down and say, hey, I want to see my last statement? And they're like, no, you don't get to see the statement. You never bank with that place ever again. And it gets bad enough here. Like I say, number one, I worry about actual losses. But number two, now in October, it comes up at the very end of the October meeting that the auditors are concerned. They're watching these same meetings, and now they're going to be requesting additional documents as a third party. So my concerns as a citizen over the last, you know, handful of months, now, you know, I'm feeling a little vindicated, if you will, to the extent that, hey, real auditors are looking at this and saying that behavior is an anomaly. We need to look further and make sure, you know, that there isn't any other problems. But I would also say something I'll bring to the table, Bill, is the ability to work professionally and to collaborate. And, you know, this is a situation where it looks like you have one person, you know, sort of digging their heels and saying, I've been here longer than you and I'll be here when you're gone, so I'm going to run things my way. But that can lead to, as I said, you know, whether it's complacency or any other way that...
Well, it could be leading to...
be allowed to happen.
Well, it could be leading to sclerotic thinking, you know, like almost the hardening of the arteries of the financial brain, so to speak, of the
yeah,
county. And, you're thinking of it that way, you know?
And the fact is, this is a person who was elected with... I've never run for office before, and you know, this is all...
That's what I was going to ask you, if this is your first foray into politics, huh? Hmm?
Yes, and you know, should I get elected, I'm going to take it as a real privilege. You know, there's a lot of trust that people would give to you, and by definition, trust means, hey, you know, we don't look at things every single day. That's, you know, part of the whole deal, and obviously, you know, marriages go south over things like this, where, you know, fighting about a budget or somebody hiding money from another person. Clearly, you can't run a business. If you have a big enough business that you have, you know, that type of a department, and you call up and say, hey, I need to see the bank statement for last month, and your employee tells you no, you don't get to see it.
I'm just kind of wondering, Mark, when grants come in from the state of Oregon, let's say, because, you know, so often what happens in many of our counties is that a big part of the budget are pass-through monies. You know, money comes in from the Oregon Right. Health Authority, gets put in our bank account, I guess, and then we, the counties, end up administering it for our local public health, as an example, you know, that kind of thing. And is that... have there been concerns about maybe how some of this ends up being affected? I know there was this big political brouhaha and controversy over the 4-H money, you know, coming in. And I'm wondering is this when this problem started cropping up with the treasurer and the commission and the county finance?
Well, that might be a better question for one of the commissioners, but clearly in this very last meeting that I referenced of October 17th, there is definitely some concern and overlap around the whole 4-H thing. But I want to say, too, the treasurer, you know, beyond the grants and stuff, they deal with currency a fair amount. And just like with banking, you have to have real adherence to some strict policy and procedures. We call them internal controls. And part of what is coming out of this is the auditors are also concerned that there may not be sufficient controls in that department. And so, you know, you always want to have a couple people involved and not the people who are doing the reconciling. And, you know, there's some complexity there. But I'm just saying there's like a couple different issues going on that I can tell from these meetings that really need to be addressed. And I'm thinking it's at that point where, you know, after 20, 30 years, whatever, if these things are going on today still, I'm just surprised. I would think that would be just a super polished, you know, department that works well with all the other departments. And, you know, back to saying it's a privilege to work for the county, it is for all of us that would be paid out of public money. And so, you know, when records aren't being provided and we're tying up hours in meetings with
trying to force the production of government or the producing of government records, I don't understand why we've gotten to this point. Or, you know, it just doesn't make sense. It just seems to me that the treasurer, hey, could we see the bank balance? Could we see what's been going on over the last month here? We're trying to plan budgeting for next year and yada, yada, yada. The county finance is kind of wondering. I can't help but think that there are political irritations going on that's driving some of this. I don't know, but I'm just...
Yeah, well, I suppose you always have that in the background. And, you know, again, with me having years of management background, I understand what it's like to be a professional and, you know, putting the good work first.
Yeah, but it still looks bad. It looks bad to be a treasurer, wouldn't you agree? It
exactly.
looks bad to be a treasurer that doesn't want to produce the books or is not forthcoming. It just looks bad.
I think it's fair to say that there's some smoke, and we all, you know, deserve to know if it's just smoke.
All right, and you would then... If it gets to the point where whoever's the elected leaders of Josephine County in the future, you'd have no problem then of producing the financial records on a timely basis and following the codes and all the rest of it. You see no problem doing that?
Oh, Absolutely. That's the whole point here, is I don't think the treasurer should ever be putting Josephine County at any kind of financial risk. And, you know, if items of internal risk are found, you address them immediately and course correct. So as treasurer, I always absolutely will provide the transparency that supports sound risk management and policy decision making. That's at my core. Nobody's in banking long if they don't adhere to that.
Yeah, I would imagine not. All right. Mark, I appreciate your call. And Mark DeYoung is running and asking for your vote in Josephine County for Josephine County Treasurer. Treasurer,
and we will be at Deer Creek Vineyards in Selma tonight at 6:30. Bill, for folks that are outside of the city of Grants Pass, will be an opportunity to meet the commissioner candidates as well as myself. So, again, I really appreciate your time this morning. And, folks, this is a big deal. I know treasurer isn't the biggest thought on people's minds. I don't think anybody's even stolen one of my signs yet, Bill.
Oh, that's funny. I think you win the statement of the day. Well, it's not even important enough to steal my sign. But the fact is, though, it is one of these key core functions in government that just need to be done openly and transparently, and it gives everybody a sense of confidence to see it being done correctly. And if you swear you'll do that, that's something that voters can consider then, Mark. All right? Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Bill.
All right. By the way, what time are you going to be at the vineyard in Selma?
6:30.
Okay, 6:30 tonight. If people wanted to meet Mark DeYoung, candidate for Josephine County Treasurer. Thanks for the call, Mark. Be well, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye now. 7:32 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Do an email of the day. Email of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson in Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And it's on Freeman Way, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. By the way, they have an in-house lab now, which really makes the crowns easy, quick, because they can make a lot of those crowns while you wait. You sit there, they get your tooth all ready, say, hang on, 30 minutes later, and then out comes the crown, and boom, they pop it on. It's really cool stuff. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. I'm going to give an email of the day to Dan Hanna, even though Dan and I disagree with one another at this point. Dan Hanna is from Rogue River and writes me and says, Bill, regarding your choice for circuit court judge. Now, about a half hour ago, I mentioned that I was voting for Johan Pietila. And the reason that I was doing this, and I'll give my reasoning again. But Dan says, in your choice for circuit court judge, as a socially, fiscally, and politically conservative Christian voter, slightly to the right of the late Rush Limbaugh, I have to disagree with your choice. I had no information on Pietila before the interview on your show. Rowan, on the other hand, made the effort to actually go door-to-door here in Rogue River and introduce himself. He spent a full 30 minutes with me discussing viewpoints and positions. He convinced me of his commitment to transparency, adherence to the rule of law, and his belief in following the U.S. Constitution as a primary guide. He has my vote. And thanks for listening to the pebble in my shoe. Dan, I appreciate your writing. You and I are going to have to agree to disagree here. I'm looking at a broader view than this one particular judge. There should not be a incumbent judge in position 11. It was just created, and Governor Kotek put her thumb on the scale and chose one. Now, it's either going to be Johan Pietila or Matt Rowan. Matt Rowan ended up being the pick here. The problem that I have with it is the system. It perpetuates the system. The corrupt, I'm not saying that the judges involved are corrupt, but it's the corrupt process of left-wing governors choosing our judges. And then those judges have the kiss. And they're running in there in this race with incumbent next to him. And I have no axe to grind against Matthew. I'm sure good guy. I think both of these people are qualified people. But I think it's bad policy to perpetuate the governors picking our judges. Because almost no one will ever challenge Matt Rowan again. It'll never happen. No one ever wants to challenge a judge once they're put in there. The only time you have to choose to make a choice here, the way the system is working in Oregon, is to choose them in an open election. And the governor weighed in unfairly 2 months before the election. She couldn't wait, right? She couldn't let the people of Southern Oregon decide and duke it out and have a couple of candidates duke it out. That's where I think it's wrong. And that's why, you know, I look at Governor Kotek's choice as kind of like when the Daily Courier tells me to vote for someone. I can almost automatically take the opposite take on that. And I'm not claiming that this may necessarily be fair for Matthew Rowan, but she shouldn't have been doing it. She shouldn't have done it. And I assure you that the supporters of Governor Kotek are very happy. They like that. They like the system with Democrat governors choosing our judges. Wash, rinse, repeat. And then nothing changes in the legal system. So you and I are going to have to agree to disagree on that one, okay? Appreciate the email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted?
So your house stands the test of time, too. MilletteConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Barrett-Chigger joins me. Yes, we got a couple of Josephine County guests back-to-back for a change. How are you doing this morning, Herman? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, indeed. What do you think? A couple of weeks before the election day, which really means just lighting the fuse to the drama, wouldn't you say? Probably on the national stage. I think it's kind of what we're going to be seeing. I don't think we're going to know for quite some time. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's some things we're going to know and some things we're not going to know for quite some time. I mean, you know, it's they got about, what, 10 days after Election Day to get the votes to the clerks, you know? So, but, you know, if it's a wide margin, we'll probably have a good idea. If it's close race, it'll probably be a lot.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. And I would imagine that there are hundreds of Republican lawyers and hundreds of Democrat lawyers ready to file suit in case there's any perceived injustice, right?
that's what could we're looking possibly at. Go wrong with vote by mail?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. Of course, it is so important. And have you had any people come to you saying that they're not really that they're not thinking about voting, thinking that it doesn't matter?
Well, you know, I've had some pretty good conversations when I hear people say my vote doesn't count. My immediate response is, well, you're correct. If you don't vote, it doesn't get counted.
Yeah, indeed.
And I constantly remind people, when Governor Brown first got into politics, she only won by a couple votes as a representative.
She won by two votes? Really?
Yeah, it was only a couple votes. A handful. I don't know.
A handful, but it was a very small number, right?
Very small. And that individual rose to a governor of the state of Oregon, and look at the policies that she was able to pass that, in my opinion, aren't very helpful.
And it all happened with a handful of votes. A handful of votes, just a few. And you could have had a handful of Republicans that might have gone the other direction, you know, on that particular vote. And it could have gone the other way. And at least, if nothing else, it could have short-circuited the rise of a very injuring politician in the history of Oregon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I always bring that example up. So to all the folks out in the world, please just allocate 15 to 30 minutes of your time to go through your ballot and your voter's pamphlet and make some phone calls to get some advice from friends if you're not following politics real closely. Ask some questions and sit down and cast your vote and drop it off, you know, at a receptacle or the courthouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't encourage mailing. I just think that's just another thing that can go wrong.
And see, I need to check the weather today because hell must be freezing over, because not only you, but me and the Daily Courier's Scott Stoddard, we're all in agreement, don't mail your ballot. Can you believe that? You're actually agreeing with someone? over there.
Exactly. Well, I there's other people out there that say the same thing, that I'm green, so I'm not going to focus on Scott Stoddard.
No, but I just had to chuckle, you know, when I saw him come out with that editorial going, hey, Scott, you know, every now and then I can actually agree with you. It's all right. It's sound policy. Hey, you know, is there any, this is something which is totally off base. I didn't really say I was going to talk with you about this. Has there ever been any conversation about the Oregon courts and how much influence the governor has in choosing judges? I was just talking about what should have been an open Jackson County Circuit Court race here that Governor Kotek weighs in with 60 days to go before a brand new judge gets elected, you know, that's never been in existence here, you know, position 11.
So here's historically, Bill, when we were actually a functioning government in the state of Oregon, when I first got into the Senate, the courtesy was when there was a vacancy, the governor would call the senator in that district and ask for their recommendation. And the senator would submit the recommendation, and 9 times out of 10, that's who the governor appointed. Okay?
Right.
That's gone. That's all gone.
That's gone now? What happens?
Yes, that's gone. Now the governor just selects whoever that she wants. I would be absolutely surprised if Governor Kotek called Art Robinson and asked, who would you like in that district? So those courtesies are gone. I will tell you, a lot has happened, and it has all happened. Peter Courtney's gone, but if he was still alive and he would actually say in public, the division between Republicans and Democrats and the inability to work together was all started when Tina Kotek became Speaker of the House.
So what changed with Tina Kotek? What happened with that speakership?
She took the attitude, I no longer needed Republicans. And her and Courtney, I think some of the fiercest battles between two Democrats was at the end of session when, you know, a lot of haggling goes on and trading and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, despite what many people said about Courtney, yes, he was a Democrat. Yes, he liked her policies. But he always wanted to hear the opposition. And
he wanted there to be room for the opposition. In other words, he wanted he's looking for buy-in. Wasn't that really it to a certain extent?
Well, yeah. You know, he would never until the last couple sessions, he would never allow a bill to come to the floor that didn't have a Republican vote. So, you know, and he forced, by doing that, he forced Democrats and the Republicans, even if there was a bill that I didn't like, I was a lot of times able to get something in that bill to reduce it. I knew I couldn't stop it a lot of times. Sometimes I could, but I could get something in there where it wasn't quite as bad. That's all gone. It's all gone.
So now that that's all gone now, that's even more of a situation where why would Republicans even help Democrats pass bills then? If there's never any chance of getting something done on it. And this is something Kevin Starrett's complained about, you know, for a while.
Oh, yeah, they might throw you a few breadcrumbs, but it's all gone. And I'll tell you, I use those words, it's all gone. And those are not my words. Those are Peter Courtney's words.
Oh, really?
I remember I walked into his office one day, and we were having all, you know, when we were having cap and trade and all that problems and everything. And he was sitting at the end of that big table. He was the only person in the room. And I walked in and sat down like I always do. And the first words out of his mouth is, it's all gone, Herman. All those people want to do is fight now.
That's interesting. And this kind of leads me to why I come out against judges that have been chosen by Tina Kotek. Not that I have anything personal about them. But the fact that there is no real, I mean, it's just really what the governor thinks, and I have to take the governor at her word that the governor doesn't really give a crap what people like you and I think, you know, should be done.
She's probably the most partisan legislature I've ever served with. is Tina Kotek.
Mm-hmm. And this also brings us to the other issues, which were passed by an extremely partisan Democrat-supported legislature, Democrat-controlled legislature, in which Republicans are there mostly to maybe get an occasional betterment on a bad bill going through, but rarely able to stop them. Okay. Now, I've been having a sign up in my Facebook Live on my Facebook Live feed here, voting no on 115, 116, 117, 118, and 119. These are the county state measures here. All of them, I think, are a bad idea, but especially the ones that the state legislature referred to this. And you are on the record as saying that when the legislature refers something to us, it means the Democrats want it, but they don't want to actually have their fingerprints on it. You want to reiterate that, what that means here? Ranked choice voting is an example of this. There's also the pay, wanting to create a new pay commission. And the marijuana, I forget if it was the marijuana owners had to shut up about it. Maybe you could comment on that a little bit, please.
Well, ranked choice, I would say that there's some Democrats that don't like it, but the majority of them do. So that's why it's on the ballot. The pay thing is the Democrats, who love to be in the legislature, have been advocating to be a full-time legislature. Right now, we are a part-time legislature. So you actually should have another source of you have to have another source of income to participate in the legislature. You can't simply survive on what the legislature pays because you are a citizen legislature. That is very, very important. Okay, this was how our country was designed, is that people would give up for a few years, go to the legislature, and get out, and then somebody else would do it. It was a service. It was volunteer. Now what they want to do is be like California, where you make $200,000+ a year, you're full-time. And once that happens in Oregon, you will never get these people out of office.
Because it's a career. It becomes
a career.
Paying career then at this point.
It's just like Congress or state of California. There are some of the bigger states have full-time legislatures, but most of them still have citizen legislatures.
And look at all the mischief that Governor Newsom in California is conducting with a full-time legislature, continually on the hunt for new regulations, new taxes, new restrictions, new rights-stripping laws. I mean, it never ends coming out of California because of a full-time legislature.
You know, all these in Oregon, these brilliant ideas are cast upon the people 3 months on the even years and 6 months on the odd years. Can you imagine how many wonderful things they can think up if they're there 12 months every year?
Yeah. So that is part of why Measure 116, why the legislature wanted Measure 116, because it would obviously increase pay. It would make it more likely, but they wouldn't have to vote for their pay, apparently, the way it's looking. Now,
And their argument for a full-time legislature is, it'll attract, better people. You'll hear that,
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? When them better people get in there, they have to die to get out.
Yeah.
To take that seat back,
Now, Measure 118, oddly enough, both sides of the aisle are against Measure 118, which is that increasing the corporate taxes so you hand out the $1,600 a year, to the people. But the Democrats are against it probably because if they want to hand out money, they want to be the ones in charge of handing out the money. Would that be fair? That's the only reason they're upset with raising corporate taxes, or is there something else on that?
No, you got Intel and Nike and these huge people, and they're probably going to move out. I mean, most people don't realize what a shocker it was to states across this country when Elon Musk moved Tesla out of California.
Big deal.
So,
right?
Yes, and so they know. We don't have many huge corporations in Oregon. I mean, huge, the big ones, We have no car manufacturing to speak of. We only got a couple. And why should they stay here and pay those when they can just move to another state?
Yeah.
And that's what they'll do. And they know that. The Democrats know that. We don't have a military base. Okay. We have a reserve base, Klamath Falls. We have no big military here. We have small fractions of companies in aerospace and stuff like that. We don't have anything. We've chased them all out. Go to Portland. And Portland used to have Kaiser Shipyards and all of that industry. We had steel mills. We had glass plants. We had all of that in Portland. Huge, gigantic corporations. They're all gone. It looks like a ghost town. The Democrats have chased them out of the state. Hmm. Well, when you chase them out of the state, you chase those revenues out. Look at the timber industry. The timber industry was thriving for 50 years here. It's pretty much diminished down to nothing. It's all gone. So they know that, and they have to make special deals like with Apple and stuff to put those
data centers
data centers in and stuff. But you'd have to give them special tax breaks and all that stuff, or they'll never come. You know, and you look what's going on with our agriculture now. Agriculture's not doing so hot, Bill, and so if you're agriculture and you're not making money, you're not paying taxes.
But if you're a big enough farmer, even if you're not making a big profit right now, you would pay an extra corporate tax to the state under this law, under 118. So I understand why both sides are fighting it, maybe for the wrong reasons in some cases. Measure 115 is another interesting one, and I know that I've had arguments with conservatives about this. This is the one that would amend the state constitution to allow the House of Representatives to impeach statewide elected officials in the executive branch, all right? This way you can impeach the governor, you can impeach all this and that and the other. I'm voting against this one. I think every single one of these ones needs to go down. And this was referred to by the state legislature because ultimately with two-thirds majority, the only people that will ever end up getting impeached, in my opinion, Herman, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this one, the only people who would be impeached by the two-thirds majority required, which would mean Democrats would be voting for it, would end up being Republicans that were maybe not quite in line with the agenda of the Democrats.
It takes the power away from the people is what it does.
Yep.
So right there, it should be a no vote. And how many times I've said on your radio show, when the Democrats get to 20 in the Senate and 30 in the House, they don't need Republicans.
That's right.
Okay? They could change their Constitution. They can do so. If you have 20 Democrats in the Senate and 30 Democrats in the House and a governor that's a Democrat, the people have no power anymore.
Hmm. So you hope that we don't get to that number then. What do you think about the election this time around? Is there a possibility they get there 20 and 30?
They'll get a few more. I think they're going to pick up a few in the Senate. And the House, I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
They're heading that direction, Bill. Mm. These things take a while. But if they ever get there, how do you get them back?
And also, once again, don't vote for stuff that the legislature refers to you. Okay? Just remember that.
No, and you know, this RCC bond, what scares me about that, you know, one of the big things
By the way, before you move forward on that, I've advised a no. I did a no vote on this one. I don't like the idea of Jackson County maybe forcing Josephine County to raise taxes. I wish there were two separate votes, not in a district, but that's just me. Okay?
Right. Well, here's the thing, the way I look at it. In the legislature, you know, I was on the education committee, and we sat and had hearings. Higher education in the future is going to diminish, and we're probably going to lose some universities in Oregon over time because we just don't have the attendance. And when you look at the demographics, it's hard to find where we're going to get the attendance. So when a college or a university at this particular point in history takes on these bonds, you got to remember everybody in the district is responsible for those bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if we lose that institution? Well, the people in the district are still responsible for paying those bonds off.
Hmm. I don't think that we're in any danger of losing RCC, are we?
I don't know what's going to happen in the future with the higher education. I do know that they're going to be diminishing, and I predict that. And there's a lot of other people, including Democrats. I mean, we had hearings on this. Arne Roblin was the chair. And it's just when you look at the Democrats dictate a lot of things. And you're simply and I've had the conversations with the different presidents of Southern Oregon University. They all realize that. And so they're trying to reach out farther and farther and farther to gain students. But if you don't have the students, you start contracting. That's just That's just probably what's going to happen. So I don't like the two counties being in the district. And the other thing I don't like is to put that much burden of debt, because you're putting that on the people in the district. That's irresponsible. So I don't, I just think at this, the timing's wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, you and I agree on this, maybe for different reasons. Okay. But
No, I also agree with you. It's one county can dictate what the other county has to do.
That's just because of the larger population of Jackson County. You know, Joe County may not want to actually impose that 13 cent per thousand, but then Jackson would end up saying, nope, you're going to get it good and hard, whether you like it or not. That's why. Well, of course, I'm not a fan of these big taxing districts anyway. You know, it's like, I'm looking at my, I look at my property tax statement the other day, Herman, and I'm looking at how much money goes each year to that ridiculous Jackson County Library woke system, you know, to go out there and do the bum foot washings and to do everything rather than, you know, and have their stolen land bleeding from the hard left activist and things like that. I'd love to see that money go away, too. By the way, is it possible to decertify an election district or a taxing district? Could you actually get rid of that if you wanted to? I know it'd probably be a high bar.
You have to do it through the initiative process.
Would be, huh?
And you know, I was talking to Chris Parton the other day, who's our assessor, and their office has had a lot more calls than normal of why people's taxes are up. And so they're up for a couple reasons. One, it's 3%. Okay, that automatically goes up. And two, we have this new law enforcement district. Mm-hmm. And so people that showed up, and you'd be surprised how many people didn't know about that. You know, that law enforcement district, not a lot of people voted for it, but it was since a lot of people didn't vote, it passed.
Which is why it's important
I voted for it.
Yeah, which is why it's important, though, to vote for it and pay attention to what, you know, this idea that people are wondering, what, you didn't realize that your taxes were raised and what it was too much trouble for you to take a look at the envelope that was delivered to you by your county clerk? Oh, my goodness.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it was $1 a thousand. So, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah, real money.
And it's real money. But, you know, I voted for it because I think we need law enforcement, and I think our sheriff's department does an excellent job. So I'm willing to pay for it. But, you know, it mystifies me. You know, people didn't know what was going on, and now all of a sudden they get their tax bill. How'd this happen?
But, you see, this goes back to what we've talked about before. You may not be interested in politics, but the taxpayer is always on the menu, Herman. Got to pay attention to what they're doing. All right?
Exactly. And so back to our original conversation today, Bill, is, voting is very, very important, and don't ever think it's not. You know, I've visited a lot of countries where they don't have the right to vote. Even vote by mail, even all of these issues that we talk about, be very fortunate you have the opportunity to vote, and please take advantage of that.
Yep, will do. Turnout, my friend, and get the vote in now, all right? Once again, Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchiger, we appreciate it. We'll talk next week, all right? You be well.
Take care, Bill.
This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass, also translator K290AF Rogue River, and K294AS Ashland.
Life's busy, and you need to be on time, on the road, on schedule, and with...